Okay, we're in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 isn't in a vacuum. It's built on the first 13 chapters that have gone before it. But let's pray, and then I want to look at something. I think it's kind of important. Father, you know, we full on expect that you'll talk to us here this morning, that you have something for us, that you would give us our portion, that you would tell us the things that you would have us to know, that you would bless us, thrill us from your word, and Lord, give us practical instruction that we may go out of this place better and more like Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we ask it. Amen. Okay, chapter 14, it's all about judging. Well, it's all about not judging. And, so, you know, I always think there's, everybody you've ever met knows this: judge not lest ye be judged. They don't know any Bible verse and they know that one. It's their favorite one, because if you say anything to them, they're, I don't know who you think you are to judge me. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Judge not lest ye be judged. But you know, this sacred book tells us sometimes we're to look at a person's life and we're to make an assessment about them. And it says, judge not lest ye be judged in the Sermon on the Mount. It's chapter 7, I believe, verse 1. Might be chapter 6, verse 1, but I think it's chapter 7, verse 1. And in that same section, it says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't give that which is sacred to the dogs. Aren't you judging somebody to think that they're pearl, that they're swine or dogs, and you shouldn't cast your pearls or your holy things to them? Aren't you making an assessment? I'm going to show you a verse in the homework that specifically calls for us to step up and judge. Look, you're going to judge angels. Aren't you worthy of judging the least matters among you? And it says that we're supposed to judge. Now we're going to look at a section that says, don't judge. When is it time to judge, and when is it time to forbear? When is it time to let God straighten things out, and when is it a time to... No. We got to deal with this, okay? My neighbor is a Christian man, hypothetical neighbor, is having an affair. And I went to him, I said, dude, what are you thinking? What's the thought process here? You're gonna mess up your life. You're betraying your vows. And he says, hey, don't judge me. Valid? No. No. Not even a little bit. I love him. I have to speak. And when is that okay? Well, I'm going to tell you. So, because we're going to go through this, and you're going to say, yeah, but what? And it's all based on chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You had to know that. I've been going here and going here and going here. When is it time for me to step out and talk to my neighbor? When is it time for me to say, yeah, we'll let God sort this out? We'll let God work in a person's heart and let them determine the right and the wrong of this specific action. Romans chapter 12 says one, I'm begging you, Paul says, I'm beseeching you, King James. I'm begging you, therefore, brethren, because of the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. The idea is to God. You're presenting your body to God. Lord, here I am. I ain't much. I understand you want this. Go ahead. Take it all. Holy, and God will accept that, acceptable unto God. This is very logical. The Greek word is logikos. We get the word logical. It's very practical, very obvious that we should be doing this. And don't think like everybody else. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world tell you right and wrong. Why? Because the world doesn't know right and wrong. The fallen world is in rebellion to Jesus Christ. Why would I take any direction from them? Whatever. Don't be conformed to this world. By the way, I get a little hepped up about that, because I think many Christians are taking their cues from the world. I've seen it. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God, here I am. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your word. I want to be a logical, clear thinking. I don't want to be like everybody else. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you like. Tell me what. And I'm proving, halfway through verse 2, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When is the time for me to step up and say, hey, neighbor, stop cheating on your wife. Oh, you can't judge me. I have verses. Thou shalt not. This is like one of the top 10. It's a big deal. Let's talk about it. Because I love you. And when is the time to just let, okay, now let's, I think we're in a place where we can look at Romans chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith. Now we're talking about, you've made a judgment already. There are people who are weak in the faith. How are people weak in the faith? Well, very often there's new believers. Are new believers weak in the faith? Notoriously so. We all went through that weak phase. I got saved last week. What am I, a theologian this week? I'm somebody who loves Jesus, who's been turned on by like, oh, Lord, thank you for saving me. I'm so zealous. I'm so excited. We're in this honeymoon phase, and I don't know nothing. And so my faith hasn't been established on a rock. It's just, it's been established. And only that. Is it built? Is it mighty faith? Is it built up? Is it extraordinary? Is it the faith of somebody who's lived with and gone through all this? No, it's just new faith. And it's weak. Him that is weak, the problem is some of us stay in that weak faith place forever. Forever. We never, our faith never rises, never, it never grows. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Hey, come on in. Glad to have you. But not to doubtful disputations. I know some of you are saying, I would never do doubtful disputations, whatever that is. Disputings. We don't say disputations. We say dispute. I'm going to take this new believer in under my wing. We're going to receive him. We're going to bring him all into the family just so we can argue with him. He's saying, no. Don't do that. Don't do that. And by the way, why would you want to? There's much in Christianity that is like cloning. I don't know how to say it. Okay, you're in here now. I want you to think like me. I want you to act like me. I want you to be like me. You cross your T's like me. You dot your I's like me. The things that I abstain from, you will abstain from. The things that I think are cool, then you're going to think they're cool. And I just want to recreate you in my image. Listen, there's a whole lot of that. I don't know if I have a propensity to do that or not. I mean, I really, really don't, because I think you'd almost be blind to it. I think I'm trying to go out of my way to not do that. It seems to me like, hey, you do you, I'll do me. I got my hands full with me. I'm not trying to control your life. And I really believe that. I believe that. I really think that I'm that type of person. I don't want you to be exactly like me. As a matter of fact, like my pastor, Ken Graves, I love the man. I love Ken Graves. Yesterday, he was teaching. Sue said, boy, he's awful frank. And I said, you know what, men, you just, because we knew that anyway. It wasn't like a new revelation. He was saying some stuff, wasn't he? And we were We don't nibble around the edges. And Ken doesn't like nibble around the edges. He just says, plow right through the center of this is what you need to know, and this is how it's going to be, and this is what. But I don't want to be like him. I mean, I want to be like him in a lot of ways, but I don't want to be Ken Graves. There's one, and that's enough. And I always thought it's kind of a shame if I'm Ken Graves the second, little Ken. There's no Adam Kasperzak. But God saved Adam and wants to add him to the body. I really think that's the way it is. And you, and I can put your name there instead. Male or female. I don't want you to be like me. I don't want you to act like me. I don't want you to, in the sense of, be my clone. Now, there's much in Christianity. You go to this church, and you better dress a certain way, and you better act a certain way, you better abstain from a certain amount. I'm not going to mention all the different things, because then I can kind of get in trouble a little bit. I remember teaching this in the past and kind of going off topic. But then when I go off topic, I'm kind of giving you my, this is how I feel about this specific thing, but I don't want to. I don't want to, because this is all about not cloning, not judging, not trying to get people to be just like you. Okay, somebody's weak in the faith, you're going to receive them, not so you can get into an argument with them, not so you can debate. One believer, and he's going to give examples of that. So I was listening to one guy, and he says, hey, you know, you don't have to reinvent. Every time someone comes into the faith, you know, and someone says, well, you know, I believe all these things you believe, but I don't believe in the virgin birth. And so you can argue about it, but we believe in the virgin birth, so blah, blah, blah. And he says, but you don't have to give them the pulpit. You don't have to reestablish. Every time someone comes in and says, you know, I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, you've already settled that in your mind. You don't have to go, and you've studied, and you know that the Bible is the Word of God. You don't have to go each time and say, oh, you know, is the Bible the Word of God? And I thought, like, those things are true, and I kind of agreed with them, but it had nothing to do with what this scripture is about. Nothing at all. He gives examples of what he means when he's talking about doubtful disputations. And they're not the virgin birth, and they're not belief in, is this the word of God or not? Those are things, you gotta figure those things out. You gotta study those things through. Here it's talking about this. One believes he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. So one's an omnivore, and herbs there means vegetables, one's a vegetarian. Is this germane to where we live? Yes, it is. I don't know if we have any vegetarians there. If we do, either you told me and I forgot, or we don't have any. And if, is anybody like a vegetarian? And by the way, you're in the no judgment zone. I'm so good with that. You have no idea. No vegans? Vegetarian? Okay. See how, look at me. See how good I am? See how I'm so good with it? No. I really... really, really am. I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything as far as, you know, things like that. He that believeth that he may eat all things. So this is where, you know, people live. We, you know, people argue about this on Facebook. People, we have these debates, okay? One believes that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs or vegetables, okay? Now we've set the agenda. We've got the two teams in the chess match. We got the black, the whites, okay? And there's two sides to this. Let him that eateth carnivores, omnivores is probably better. Okay? And by the way, while I'm talking about this, we're not talking about paleo, carnivore, vegan, vegetarian, would I say paleo, keto diet? We're not talking about diet. We're not talking about health, okay? I remember, you know, we were at McDonald's and we got ice cream sundaes, and we were with a pastor and his wife, and she said, aren't we going to pray? And I thought, like, yeah, go ahead. It's like, Lord, bless these... that they may nourish and strengthen us. I'm thinking, man, you don't mind asking for big stuff, do you? That's like, if I don't have a heart attack right now, I'll be happy, okay? You want God to bless an ice cream sundae? You got more faith than I got. We're not talking about health. We're not talking about nutrition here, okay? And we are not, okay? This is not dealing with should you be paleo, should you be omnivore, carnivore, should you do, we're not, okay? So just, shake your head to that idea falls right out. One believes he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Now that's the way it really is. Let him that eateth, the guy who eats everything, despise him that eateth not. Don't you dare hate the person who's a vegetarian. You don't have the right to do that. And we're going to see, because the person is doing or not doing what they're doing or not doing before God. And that's very, very important. Don't you despise him that eateth not. Let him that eateth not judge him that eateth. So you can't say, oh, that person's a vegetarian. They're not very spiritual. And the person who's a vegetarian can't say, oh, that person eats pork chops. They're not very spiritual. And this is the whole chapter. It's really, really an important thing. Boy, Facebook just is going to take a hit now if we start practicing these. I'm just saying, you're not going to, half the post just went away. You're not going to be all, we can't be all judgmental anymore. Let him that eateth despise him that eat. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. God hath received him. Him who? The person who is just a vegetarian or the person who has meat in their diet? Either one. God's received them both. And we'll see that. Who are you to judge another man's servant? That's a good question. I look at this person's life and I say, that isn't service to God. What are they thinking? What's that all about? No, God's the judge of his servants. Let him judge. Let him determine. Okay? Somebody doesn't come to church on Sundays. That louse. They don't even serve. How can they think they're Christians? They don't even come to church on Sunday. Well, you know what they're doing? They're having their own church. They go to a nursing home and they go and they minister to people who can't come out and have church. And that's what they do on Sunday morning. Or somebody's having a Bible study in the house on Sunday morning. Or somebody's doing something that they feel like, and God's called them to do it, and they're trying to be obedient to the Lord. And in doing this, their obedience to the Lord, they're not here with us. Good for nothing. Right? No. Maybe God really spoke to their heart and told them that. Who am I to say? Right? That way, who are you to say? We don't judge other people's service to God. It's not... If I had a servant, a butler, how likely is that, right? I'm a gazillionaire. I have more money than Bill Gates. He looks like a pauper by comparison to me, right? So I have a butler now and a valet. Guy helped me get dressed in the morning. I got a chauffeur and I got a large domestic staff. No, not likely. I would live in the house I live in now, and I would probably drive the automobile I drive now, and I wouldn't have a large domestic staff. I may hire a girl to come in and help do laundry or something like that, so Suze could relax a little bit, sit on the couch and watch soaps and eat bonbons. She's not, if that ever happens, if I come home and she's doing that, I know for a fact I got in the wrong house somehow. She's not given to that. She's not a lazy person. Not at all, not even a little bit. I'd say, hey, you want someone to come in and do the cooking or something like that? If I had like gazillion dollars, me, would I want a butler? Would I want an upstairs maid? Would I want, no, I'm just not that, you know what I mean. But if I had servants and you say, well, he's not butlering very well, I'd say like, hey, shut up, he's my butler. I like him just the way he is, you know. The person who is being served is the one who gets to say whether this service is acceptable or not. That makes sense, doesn't it? Well, God is a great master, and we're all his servants, and are we actually serving him or not? Well, that's for him to determine. So I'm eating all kinds of stuff, or I'm just a vegetarian guy, and I'm doing this for the Lord. Well, he gets to say whether he likes that or not, and you and I don't. That's the point. And him that eateth not, judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who are you to judge another man's servants? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Which one? Both. God's able to make him stand. See, you're trying to decide already because you're one or the other. And God's saying, don't. God's able to make you stand in either direction. The thing is, I always think, let me cut to the chase here a little bit. Someone is convicted that, especially if they come out like of a Hindu, they don't eat any meat. That cow, that's your great grandmother. You'll be eating on that. And now they become a Christian, but they're still like, I don't. They haven't figured a lot of stuff, and they just wanna. And some people, they don't even come out of a Hindu thing. They say, I don't eat anything with a face. I don't. That's fine. Let them be them. Let them do them. We don't have an opportunity to say, oh, you can't do that. God is able to hold them up. We can't. So I say, hey, don't you know the Bible says, ask the blessing open your mouth, toss it down. What's your problem? Wait a second. The Holy Spirit hadn't done that in life, and I'm supposed to come along. And they feel like very convicted about a certain way to live. And now I'm telling them, don't listen to your heart. Don't listen to your conviction. Don't do what you feel God's calling you to do. Do what I tell you to do. I better have a lot of verses on my side before I start doing that. Like my neighbor caught in adultery. And then, of course, what is my attitude? You know, am I just trying to one-up? Am I trying to win an argument? Or am I trying to win my neighbor because he's in a very precarious situation? No, God's able to make him stand. This is what it says here. I'm not adding to this. I'm not subtracting from it. Every time I teach this, I get in trouble. I remember the very first time I mentioned alcohol, and I was against alcohol. And I said, you know, you really shouldn't. In verse 21, it talks about drinking wine, so I'm okay, all right? And I said, you know, and I kind of said, yeah, alcohol. The Bible doesn't say you can't have any alcohol whatsoever, ever. But you really do well not to drink. I don't drink and stuff like that. I get in trouble for that. I get invited over to somebody's house, and they had dinner when their wife and kids weren't there, and me and Sue showed up. I should have suspected something. And he lectured me like I was against alcohol. He was against alcohol, but I wasn't against alcohol enough. And now there's degrees. I thought, like, no matter what I say, I'm going to get in trouble. And I don't care. I don't care. This is what Scripture says. Deal with it, okay? But I'm not going to, like I say, freelance and go off script, because then I'm telling you, like, how I feel about certain things. And at this time, I'm just saying, God's using these examples to say, don't you dare judge. One man esteemed, so the first one is vegetarianism, versus you can eat anything. And the second one is one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. So one guy's either a Sabbatarian or a Lord's Day person. We're listening to somebody Sunday afternoon, I think. Maybe it was Monday night. I think it was Sunday afternoon last week. And he started with, Happy Lord's Day! And he was all like, and about, you know, okay. You know, so some people think in those terms, right? And some people are saying, one man esteemeth one day above another, like the Sabbath or like Sunday. One man esteemeth, another esteemeth every day alike. Hey, every day is the day of the Lord. Every day is God's day. What? I show up to church on Sunday and I serve the Lord, worship him, love the Lord. Monday, you ain't having nothing. It's my day. I'm going to do what I want to do. Is that what we're to believe? Some people think like every day is alike. And some people think like, no, there's special days. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. That's important. That's important. Whatever you think, you're in your own mind, don't judge yourself, because he's going to go on to say that later on. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord and give thanks. So you're sitting over pork chops and you say, God, thank you for this wonderful meal, and down the hatch. Someone's sitting over like tofu and bean curd and or a plate of vegetables, or and he's thanking and praising God, and down the hatch it goes. It's, we're doing this to the Lord, either way. He that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord. For he giveth thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth thanks. And it means that when he's not eating meat, is what it's saying, okay? Either way, we're doing this to the Lord, and we're giving thanks to the Lord. Let none of us liveth to himself, and let no man die to himself. If you're thinking in terms of everybody, all at one, everybody, we're like a family, we're one unit. I got this poem, No Man is an Island, and you've probably heard it, or it's by John Donne. And so it's short, it's only like three stanzas, and each stanza about four lines. No man is an island, entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. That's different. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less. I don't know, it seems like it would wash up somewhere else, but I'll give him that. as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends or of thine own were. So he's saying, okay, let's say you have this big luxurious mansion on a cliff and like a third of the thing gets washed into the sea. You got a third less land to grow, to graze, to own. You, all of a sudden, you don't have as much. And he's making a point there. Any man's death diminishes me, says the poet, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. And he's just, all he's saying is like, hey, we're part of the entire, we're part of the group. And is John Donne a Christian man who loves Jesus? I don't know that. I know his point, and I agree with it to a degree, but in church, we are one another's. We belong to one another. We're not living to himself. We're not dying to ourselves. Whether we live to the Lord. Whether we die in the Lord. So you're living for God. You're dying for God. I don't know if all of us have figured that out. I've always said, if you haven't figured out this, if you haven't found someone who's worth dying for, you haven't found a reason to live, as far as I'm concerned. But we got to think in terms of the group. I don't think that we in Christianity, and if this sounds judgmental, I don't think we think in terms of the group very often. Most of the time, it's about me. I don't care about you. I don't care about your preferences. I don't care about your little feelings. I don't care about anything about you. All I care about is me. And my cause, and my desires, and fulfilling my, and you know, a Muslim guy moves into the neighborhood. Seems like a decent, hardworking guy. He's got cute little kids, and his wife, she seems hardworking. She seems very pleasant. Susan and her hit it off, and hypothetical. And we invite him over for dinner. What are we having? Wine and pork chops. I don't care. Let him come to me. I ain't doing nothing. You know, this is what I want. This is why. I don't care about him. If he's offended, I ask the blessing. He can do whatever he wants. How loving is that? But I'm afraid, I give you an extreme example. I'm afraid that that's very often, we're not thoughtful like that at all. Whether we live under the Lord, whether we die under the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. To this end, Christ died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. You think that rose and revived are the same thing. It's not. Christ died, we know that. He rose, we know that. Revived means he just lived again. He went on living. Okay? It's not rose and rose part B. Well, it might, you can consider it that day. He rose from the dead, and then he is, he remained alive. Why? So he's the God of the dead and of the living. Once you die, go home to be with Jesus, you're not out of his realm or a sphere of his influence. You're still, you're closer than you ever were before. So why do you judge another? Why do you judge your brother? Why do you set at naught your brother? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Don't try to be somebody's Holy Spirit. Don't try to turn off and turn on things in their life that God hasn't given us to do. How do we know when we're supposed? I mean, it says the weak brother. How? Isn't there a time when we strengthen them, when we tell them this is what Scripture says? When do we forbear and when do we say? Well, it goes back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You have to be sensitive in these things. There is a time when we say, hey, you know, Scripture says this, and this is what you need to know. But you know, it's not a judgmental thing. It's a love thing. We don't set at naught our brother ever. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So he's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and answer for his convictions. And we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and answer for us trying to be the Holy Spirit in somebody's life and telling them this is the way it's going to be and that's how it is. Right? We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. think that's very important to know. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Judge this rather. No man put a stumbling block on occasion to fall his brother's way. So we have someone come over for dinner, the Muslim neighbor, and I can have a pork chop if I want, but now not tonight. Okay? We're gonna have lamb kebabs. He's all happy. I'm going to pour him a big glass of wine. If you come to my house, you're never going to get a big glass of wine, so why would I do it then anyway? You say, well, Adam, he's not even your brother, but I don't want to offend. I'm not an offensive person. I don't want to go out of my way to punch somebody in the nose. You know, we're pork eaters, and you should be also. What? Why do you do like that? He's saying, you want to judge. Don't put a stumbling block on occasion to fall your brother's way. Or even your potential brother, for that matter. I mean, why do we have him over the house to begin with? We want to reach him for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus there is nothing unclean of itself. Paul couldn't help getting that in there. I couldn't either. Well, I'm just reading. I'm not trying to get my way or get my point across or anything else. Paul's saying, I know in and of itself there's nothing unclean. He's talking about food. He's talking about days of the week. Okay? This scripture, right? Peter's, Cornelius has a dream, sends for Peter. Peter's at Joppa in the house of Simon the tanner. Peter, arise, kill and eat. No way, Lord, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. What is he saying? I've kept a kosher diet. I'm not going to eat that. God says, don't you dare. Something that I've sanctified, don't you dare call it unclean or common. Peter learning some stuff. The Holy Spirit being the Holy Spirit in Peter's life. Peter wrestled with that. Even afterwards at Antioch, when Paul got in his face about him being a hypocrite, he was having pork roll and, you know, salami and stuff with his Gentile friends, and then the circumcision, those of James, showed up and he withdrew. Paul had to call him out and call him a hypocrite in front of everybody. So he struggled with that. Paul's saying the same thing. I get it. I'm persuaded by Jesus Christ himself. There's nothing unclean of itself, but if someone esteems unclean, to him is unclean. So the guy who's a vegetarian, he's correct. If he says, I can't have meat, I don't think God's called me to eat meat, he's correct. Let him and his conscience sort these things out. If your brother be grieved with your meat, how are you walking? Now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Refrain from the cheeseburger, pasta, wonderful alternative, pizza, okay, with vegetables. It'll be wonderful. You'll be fine for one meal, okay? And this is what he's saying. So you're having somebody come over, you want to ask them, because you don't want somebody having peanut allergies and shellfish and you got lobster on the stove or something. You always ask, right? Is there anything you can't eat or don't like or whatever, right? You don't have to worry about that with me. List of things I don't like. Boy, that'd be a mighty small list. There's a whole chapter on this. This is very important to God. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. You have somebody over dinner, you're trying to bless them. Well, bless them. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. Yeah, he got me in there and he's trying to convert me to a pork chop. My plate said, here, eat up. Nothing's unclean of itself. He's trying to get me to violate my conscience. Why would he do that anyway? Don't let your good be evil spoken of. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The minstrel here just had a... What was the words in that song about the kingdom eating and... Because at the time, I thought, oh, that's interesting. What was it? You don't remember? It was something about the kingdom how we're going to feast in the kingdom, this and this and this and this. Which, by the way, is true. Oh, it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Right, it was the first one. So here we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Is that a thing in Scripture? Oh, yeah, it is. We're going to eat in heaven? Yeah. Are we going to drink? Jesus said, I'm not drinking of the fruit of the vine until, there's an untilness, until I drink it with you in the kingdom. Now, Paul obviously doesn't know his theology. He says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not all about that, is what he's saying, okay? He's not saying, Paul's not teaching about, oh, there is no marriage supper of the Lamb. No, he wouldn't do that. The kingdom of God, it's not meat and drink, it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you think there's Facebook in heaven? Do you think there's debates in heaven about what you should and shouldn't do? Do you think it's all about what you can and can't eat in heaven? Do you think that's the whole thing? You think God's got you up there and say, now, I'll tell you what, this is how it's going to go. Is there, by the way, vegetarianism in heaven? Or, you know, God's going to throw a big charbroil piece of steak on my plate and say, have at it. Wait a second. Is there death in heaven? Well, he just got that out from earth and brought it up to heaven. And wait a second. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Hey, it's not about that. It's not about that. Don't try to figure it out because you can't. And two, it's not about that. You know what it is? It's a banquet. It's sumptuous. I know God knows how to feed me now and bless my heart now. God knows how to give me the things I want now. You think, like, when I get in the kingdom, the marriage supper of the Lamb, let's say it takes place during those 7 years where bad stuff is happening here on earth, okay? The time of Jacob's trouble. You don't want to be here. You want to miss that by a lot, okay? So that's what's happening here on earth. There we have the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? Let's just say, okay, for instance, and I think that's how it's going to be. I don't know, for instance, we don't know exactly the timing of some of these things. I think it's all about, like, well, I was hoping for pork chops, and I'm not going to. It's so much more than that. God knows how to bless us. Do not worry. It talks about Jesus singing over us in joy. Can you imagine? I'm getting goosebumps. Can you imagine? What does he sing like? What is God's unbridled joy look like? He's got you finally where he wants you. He's got his whole bride together. He's got the whole family, the whole clique. You know how it is. You know how it is when you're at your house and all the family's there. Tell me something. Is there something better than that that I don't know about? We love that. Don't we love that when all the family's there? Man. And God's got the whole, he's got his bride there. He's got his whole family there. It's all, and God in joy sings over us. This is so much more than meat and drink. Okay? Gee, I want to get filled up. I want to make sure there's not. You don't know nothing about God, do you? Are you really worried about things like, gee, I hope there's. He's so. Okay, listen. Don't destroy your brother over cheeseburgers, right? Destroy him not with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not your good be spoken evil of. The kingdom of God, it's not meat and drink. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. You get the double blessing. Someone comes over your house, you bless them, you give them what they want. They're not offended. They don't go home thinking, well, that guy, what a jerk he is. He tried to, you know, get me to do something that I don't think God wants me to do. So men approve, God definitely approves. And that's what the scripture here is saying. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Two thoughts here. Peace. Edification. Peace, we're not bringing somebody in so that we can dispute with them and try to show them our way of thinking is more superior to their way. No. Peace. Peace. Edification. What's edification? This is a word that we don't use all the time. And I know you very, very bright people know this. But there's someone listening online, perhaps they're not quite as bright as you. So I'm going to say what edification is. An edifice is a building. We all know that. We are in such an edifice right now. To edify is to build up. And that's always what we're trying to do. We're always trying to build one another up. We're always trying to bring people to a place of growth, to a place of love, a place of acceptance. I'm going to invite you in, but I'm going to beat you down and let you know that you're not quite measuring up and you got to step up, then you better. No, we're going to build up. We're going to follow out things which make for peace, the things wherewith one may edify another. For me, destroying out the work of God. How many times is he going to say? He's saying, Paul, I got it. I think he's over and over and over because it's something that we need to over and over and over revisit. I'm not adding verses here, right? For me, destroying out the work of God. God saved that person. He's working on that person. He's bringing that person to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now the person's saved. Now he's bringing them up that they might, you know, remember, our goal, our end, the end zone of our faith is the likeness, the image of a person. It's not a geography. Okay? We think, oh, we die, we go to heaven. Well, the meek inherit the earth. That's a story for another time. But it's not even that. It's like, we know that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did not foreknow, he did predestinate us to become unto the likeness of the image of his Son. The touchdown in this whole drama that we're going through is the image of Jesus Christ in us. God's trying to recreate us in his image. Don't try to recreate God in yours. And don't try to create other people in our image. One, it doesn't work. And two, it's not what God wants. He wants us to all be like Jesus Christ. Follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For me, destroying all the work of God, all things indeed are pure. But it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. I say this, have you ever heard me say this before? Don't violate your conscience. Don't break that. You're going to be needing that later on. Somebody will talk you out of, do this, it's you know, and there's 1,000 examples that I could give, and I'm sticking on script. I'm only going to use the ones that God's given us. But once you transpire, once you transgress your conscience, you're sinning. Even if it's not a sin, my attitude is like, I know, God, you've called me to do this, but I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this. We call that sin. The attitude is there for, we stepped across a line, and it's not right. It is good neither to eat flesh, meat, right? He's not talking about cannibalism. He's talking about carnivores. It's good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine. Now he's introducing wine, right? Nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Don't do anything that's going to stumble, trip up your brother's faith. That's what he's talking about. Now, so I want nobody ever here to eat another cheeseburger again as long as you live, because that's what it says. Somebody out there is a vegetarian. You're going to be, no, it's not. That's not what it's calling for. I don't want anyone to drink wine because somebody's going to be stumbled. He's saying it's good not to do these things, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Now wine has been introduced. Let's talk about that. It's interesting to me, in this culture, Jewish culture, wine isn't a taboo at all. Drunkenness is. Wine, you can't see a scripture or even you go to Israel today, wine's not forbidden. They grow, they have vineyards, okay? And if he's writing to the Greco-Roman culture, it's not taboo either. Now don't invite me over to your house and yell at me, okay? It's not. Adam, so you're pro-wine then? No, no, no. No. Suze will tell you, and you know Suze doesn't lie, I don't drink any wine, any alcohol. I don't even want to drink NyQuil if I'm sick, okay? I don't drink any alcohol whatsoever. Why don't you, Adam? If it's not a big deal, like you say, it's not even in the Greek culture, it's not in the Roman culture, it's not in the Jewish culture, why don't you? I don't want to do anything that's going to stumble my brother. So I'm having, someone goes to my house, they see the wine rack that I have that prominently displayed. They're going to say, what gives? Will somebody be stumbled? Perhaps, probably. Me and my wife are out and we're having a dinner. It's our anniversary. And I have a big tall glass of wine. And somebody comes in and say, Adam drinks wine? Well, if he can do it, I guess I can do it too. Oh, no, 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 no. Somebody's struggling with that. I'm not going to be the reason you've fallen off the wagon and now you're on a bender. No, 1,000 times no. I wouldn't drink in O'Doul's. You say, Adam, it's not even beer. It's near beer. But it might look like beer. And some might think, Adam's having a glass of beer. Well, he's a good guy. He loves the Lord. If he can have a glass of beer, so can I. 1 out of 14 people in America, and this isn't scripture, this is just statistics, take their first drink and become an alcoholic. You wouldn't fill, if you had a revolver with 14 chambers, you wouldn't put up one bullet and spin it and pull to your head and pull the trigger. You wouldn't do that. Well, I don't know. I'm not gonna promote alcohol. So I'm not gonna do it. Just not gonna do it. I'm not gonna drink. That's how I feel. Okay. Now, if you say like God's given me the liberty, I got you and God work on all the details of your life. I think you're better off without it, and I'm gonna tell you that. But I'm gonna tell you this scripturally: it's good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine. Do anything whereby your brother stumbleth, is offended, or is made weak. I can refrain from anything I have to. I don't want to stumble anybody. Say, well, you'd never do anything. You'd never even live your life. No matter what you do, and somebody's against it. I was playing softball, and somebody told me that was a worldly pursuit, and if Jesus came back and I was playing softball, he'd leave me right, and he wouldn't even rapture me up. So I can't even play softball anymore. And as far as that snowboarding young lady, that was, I don't see snowboarding in scripture at all. She's smiling, okay? Everything's cool, okay? We're because you know I'm joking. Because you know that's a ridiculous thing. So some people, like, you're either praying, reading scripture, or witnessing to a friend, or you're this close to going to hell. Let's be realistic, okay? We can't live our life in such and such a way that nobody ever gets hurt feelings, but we don't want to go out of our way to hurt somebody's feelings. We don't want to do the things that are going to stumble people. When is it right to forbear? When is it right to, hey, listen, it's time for you to grow up, and this is what you have to know about this world. Listen, Romans chapter 12. This is one, and if I'm always acting in love toward the person, I don't think I'm going to go too far afield. Okay, always in love, and then we'll know when to and when not to. The reason that I don't drink alcohol isn't because I hate alcohol. So I think wine's pretty good, but I don't drink it at all. Why? Because I love you. I love people. I don't in any way, shape, or form want to stumble somebody. It generally doesn't stumble people that I don't drink. They kind of almost expect to have a Calvary Chapel pastor, right? We have scriptures, by the way, about elders not drinking. The elders here don't drink. It's good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine, do anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he allows. So you've come to a place you say, well, I can do this. Is there condemnation there with you? Are you stumbling yourself? I'm like, can you really do that? Can you? Because this is what it's talking about. He that doubteth is damned if he eat. Wait a second. I don't think I can eat pork, and I eat pork or ham a hamburger or whatever. And I didn't have, now I'm going to hell? Wait, what's it? No. Condemned is the idea. If you have another version, it would say something like condemned. If you're doing something and you're doubting its okayness, you're bringing conviction on you. You're bringing condemnation on yourself. Don't do that. Don't violate your conscience. Don't do it. I say don't break that. You're going to need that later on. Don't go past where your conscience. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. He that doubteth is damned if he eat. Don't go pat your cut. You're going to be condemned because he eateth not of faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin. It's a faith walk. We walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. What is it? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We have godly convictions based on the word of God. We read things and we say, oh, God, are you calling me to abstain from? God, do you want me to do this thing? Are you? And then we step out in faith and we do the thing that pleases God. It's called faith. And whatever we're doing, you know, I have a perfect right. I can smoke dope if I want. It's legal. There's no problem here. I don't know what your problem is, but I can. And so we step out, but I haven't really convinced myself. I just got a lot of bluster and a lot of, it used to be illegal, and therefore it was immoral because I didn't want to break the law, and that's Romans chapter 13, right? And so I didn't want to break the law, so now it's not illegal, so now I can do it, or I say I can do it, but I really don't think I can do it. So now I'm doing something which I really don't think I can do, and now I'm stepping over a boundary which I've had in the past, and I'm condemning myself, and I'm breaking my conscience, because I'm interested in what I think marijuana is going to do for me. It's a bad deal. And by the way, your pastor does not smoke marijuana and never has. And yeah, okay, I'm bragging. The next marijuana cigarette I have will be my first one. But I will tell you, at 63, probably not, okay? I don't have no need to explore anything else. Why? I don't think my conscience would bear up under it, whether it's legal or not. It's nothing I need, right? I could say something else. I've heard how expensive that is. I have a job. I can't afford that. I don't know how people do it. But that's not even the case. The case is, I got a conscience. God has called me to, should a man such as I, listen to Ken's message from yesterday morning. He talks about Nehemiah where, I'll make one point and I'll be done because we're done this. They call Nehemiah and like, hey, let's go down to this plane in Ono and have this conference and determine, you know, what we should do here about. He says, plain of oh no, oh no, ain't gonna do it. I ain't going. I ain't doing it. And they're like after him, like they write this letter to him, like four times. They said, hey, come on, we gotta have this, you know, powwow. And no, I'm doing a great work. I ain't got time for you and your foolishness. Basically, is what he says. And so somebody writes to him and says, look, man, they're gunning for us now. Why don't we get into the temple and hide because they're coming to get us? And he says, hide? Should such a man as I hide? I'm not doing it. And Ken made a beautiful point. When you understand who you are in the Lord, so many times that makes the determination who we are, what we're going to do, and what we're going to refrain from doing. Should such a man as I hide? Should such a man as I smoke dope? Should such a man as I, and fill in the blank. And Ken filled in some of the blanks for us. It was very forthright. It was very good teaching. Ken, he's my guy. Anyway, so there you have it. We affect other people much more than we think we do. Why do some people not come to church? Well, they say, oh, I don't go with all those hypocrites. Maybe they have a case. Maybe we've acted hypocritically toward them. Maybe we've offended them. Maybe there's something that we've done. Maybe they're just making an excuse. That's always a possibility, too. Or maybe we got some fences to mend. But let God determine that in your life. Listen, whatever is not of faith is sin. We go by faith. We live lives of faith, okay? We make the choices we think please God, and that's how we, and those are based on Scripture. There you have it, Romans chapter 14. Let's stand. Maestro, you can come here and I didn't freelance, okay? I didn't give you a cut. But I asked one of the homework questions, can you give me a relevant example in 2023 of this? Because the days of the week, I don't know how big a deal that is anymore. We're not really debating that very much, really. But there's a lot of things that we do still debate as Christians. And so think about that. So bring that Wednesday night and we'll chew on it for a while. Father, thank you for your word. And we want to act lovingly. and we don't want to offend. I mean, look, your word's offensive. I mean, we get that. And we're going to be your people regardless. But we don't want to go out of our way to make people uncomfortable, make them feel unwelcome. And we certainly want to build up, Lord. And we can certainly set aside our preferences for those who are just navigating through these places. Help us, Lord, to do and to be the people that you've called us to be. We at the end of the day, Lord, we want to be more like Jesus Christ, which is what you want too. So we're not even at cross purposes here. We're both pulling in the same direction. Now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.